You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We are out at the JM Eagle LA Championship presented by Plas Pro here at Wilshire Country Club. It is... This is both a good news and not perfect news situation, Slee. The sun's starting to come out, so it's going to be even more beautiful than it is right now. I had a little trouble tracking that last shot. It's like a little bit of glare. You know,
of course.
Okay.
I know. Real quick.
You said that literally right before we went to break,
yeah,
you started talking about Rotolo.
Yeah.
You said you're going to hear people cheering. Even if the shot doesn't go in, it's going to be right next to the pin. Maybe a minute and a half later, I just hear everybody. And I didn't even see the ball because I just got there a little bit too late. Probably about 3 feet from the pin.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Yeah. They're
beautiful shot.
It is a beautiful shot. People are having a great time. So come on out. JMEagleLAChampionship.com. If you want to go buy your tickets, you can go drop off some canned goods at the mission, and they'll give you free admission today. If you are a first responder, you can come out as well. They've got a ServPro Heroes tent set up for you as well. So come on out and have a great day. There's a lot going on. Not only is the LPGA here in town, not only do the Lakers have a game tonight, we got the Rams have a first-round draft pick for the first time. And so you know which hockey team I root for, right? I'm an Anaheim Ducks guy.
Yeah. Quack, okay. Quack.
Quack, quack. I am a Ducks fan, so I say this with some resignation in my voice.
Okay.
The Kings-Oilers game last night was bananas.
Really?
Yes.
Kings won, right?
They won in overtime.
What happened?
So they had two different two-goal leads. Okay, which, not to get too deep, the two-goal lead, that's the worst lead in hockey. Whatever. Okay. I'd rather have a two-goal lead than a one-goal lead. And you let your foot off the game, right? All of this stuff. It was nuts. It was up in Edmonton, and they have the best player in the league in Connor McDavid. He's doing crazy stuff. The Kings blow two big leads. They end up winning it in overtime.
Wow.
Their guy, Kopitar, who's been in the league, I think, since 1964.
He's 66, but yeah.
66.
Yep.
He scores the game winner. They tie the series at one. They're coming back to L.A., and I don't like the Kings, right? The Kings are the number one rival of the Ducks, and it's just like...
But a really good game.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
It was like, that was really, really cool.
And speaking of other things that happened yesterday, too, the Celtics and Miami, just the zombie Miami Heat beating the Celtics. I want those two teams to play in perpetuity because I love how angry and scared the Celtics get, because the Celtics fans that I know, the Boston fans that I know, they're just quivering in their boots against Miami.
There was a clip. I was watching the end of that game. Probably, let's say, the second half or so. There's a clip where basically Miami's up, let's call it 7 or 8 for most of the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Might go down to 4, but then it goes back up to 10. It's just kind of going back and forth. And I think it's Tatum that takes a 3. And this is basically kind of your last gasp, maybe 30, 40 seconds left. Okay, they don't get it, and there's a foul. Literally everyone at the TD Garden, whatever it's called, all they're doing is just showing the crowd just leaving. Everybody just leaving with like 30 seconds left to go.
Yeah, the chant in like the Premier League is there a fire drill? Is there a fire drill? Like, as everyone's leaving.
In my head, I'm like, what amateurs? Should have left at the end of the third.
At the end of the third quarter.
Beat traffic somehow.
I don't understand basketball on a level like I understand some other sports, so walk me through this.
Okay.
Do you think that having a good coach helps the Heat?
That might help. He's the best coach in the NBA.
Do you think that the guy that coaches the Heat without his best player, Jimmy Butler, not being there to beat the number one seed overall, do you think that maybe that might help them? You know, I just generally speak, like organizationally, is having somebody that's competent in that role, is that useful?
By the way, in game one, losing, getting blown out by God knows how much, like, oh, yeah, we'll make the adjustments.
So yes. It does help.
Without Jimmy Butler.
It is helpful.
It does help. So
it is helpful.
If that's true, the opposite would be true. Like if you had a bad coach, it would be unhelpful.
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah. Kind of crazy, huh?
That can't be right. Yeah. I'm gonna turn it over in my head a few times because I haven't seen any evidence that having a guy that just stands there and does nothing doesn't help. That's just me. I mean, like I said, I'm not, you know, James Naismith. I don't know everything.
But you don't need to be. And by the way, you're not the only one who thinks that. there's also a player on the team that said that postgame.
It's a lot. Rams pick tonight, potentially. They are 19th.
As of right now, they are scheduled to pick.
They are scheduled to pick 19th.
Have you swayed in any way?
No, I still want them to do what I said yesterday.
But do you think they'll do that, or you? No.
I have. This is not like somebody told me. Like occasionally, I kind of know what may happen for some certain things.
Okay.
This is not one of those times.
Just blind faith.
This is my gut.
Okay.
This is my gut telling me they're going to double down on what they do really well, which is they're going to pick an offensive player. They're going to move up to pick an offensive player.
This is something just I saw 22 minutes ago from Diana Rossini. I don't know if you saw this yet. So this is from Diana Rossini of The Athletic. She says, the Rams, who haven't picked in the first round since 2016, are calling to get in the top 10.
I'm not surprised at all because there's three guys that are in the top 10. If any of these three names get called by the Rams or by Roger Goodell tonight, the Los Angeles Rams with the blank pick select, Joe Alt, Notre Dame, awesome. Roma Dunze, Washington, awesome. Brock Bowers, Georgia, awesome. Hmm. Any of those three guys, there are positions of need. They are weapons in Matthew Stafford's toolbox that he can do. This team will go as far as their offense is going to take them. This team is in a window that is now not defined necessarily by Aaron Donald, but that is defined by Matthew Stafford. What the Rams are really good at is offense. And let's get better at offense because I don't know if there's a player on the defensive side of the ball that's going to go, you know what, the Rams have one of the better defenses in the league. I don't think that's going to happen, so let's get better at offense.
Hypothetically, and I know it is what it is now, Aaron Donald did not retire.
Yeah.
How much would that have? Just go get more.
Their strength.
So it didn't – so it the only reason why I'm asking the question is how much of an impact did that sway them to say – all right, like you just said, let's double down at what we're great at.
Yeah.
Why are we going to be, if we're already going to be mediocre, okay, below mediocre on the defensive side, maybe we go put up, Matthew Stafford is the franchise right now. Stafford, their window Stafford. So why not go try to put up 30 points a game and see if we can outscore these teams?
I think that's how you do it. I think that's where you go. I think that's what makes the most sense because it's kind of, look at it like this. Let's take an offense that is an A. Let's make it an A+. You have a defense that, if we're being optimistic, might be a C.
Yeah.
And maybe a C-. I don't know if improving that to from a C- to a C or a C to a C+ makes that much of a difference.
Yeah.
Whereas if all of a sudden I get a chance to put up 30 on a regular basis, you're going to win a lot of games. You score 30 points.
And also, if they realize their defense is an issue, then maybe they make some sort of a move at that
could be.
The trade. You know,
could
you
be.
Get someone who is unhappy or a team that is not doing well that we didn't know it wasn't going to do well. Like maybe the Eagles shake loose. Mm. Like who knows?
And it's so weird how the tenure of the Rams here in Los Angeles, they've been here for 8 years, right? This is going to be the 9th season coming up. This is the first time since they've been here where we're going through the draft where they have a top pick. And that's how much – keep in mind where this team was in 2016.
Okay.
This is a team that when they came here – and I say this as a Rams fan, but I say it simply as a statement of fact. Now, they were met with almost complete indifference. When they announced that they were coming back, it's like, yeah, whatever. It was not a, oh, man, they're coming back home.
Sure,
it was,
imagine an NFL franchise going to any other city, what that would be met with.
They were met with indifference, and it was met with a vibe of not just because they had been here before. They'd been gone for 22 years, and it was a team that was coming back that had not been good for a while. It was a team that had an uninspiring head coach. It was coming back, and quite frankly, the sports fans in Los Angeles were unfamiliar with Stan Kroenke in a way like you're not quite sure. Like, does he want to win?
Fair.
Does he want to make money? Does he like what are his priorities in this thing?
Both.
And it, of course, but at least win is the other one. That for many owners, it's just let's make some money.
Sure.
They go into a football stadium that's way too big for what they had in mind at the time. They have this whack uniform combination that they show, like everything about it was like, what's going on? Fast, they don't have a pick. They do have a pick, first pick overall.
Jared Goff,
it's met with like the guy from Cal. That's the guy you're taking number one over. That guy, okay, he has a terrible start.
Yeah.
He goes 0-7, and then you hire a guy that no one has ever heard of, other than deep cut football people. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to where we are right now. The goal isn't, hey, are you going to make the playoffs? It's can you win the Super Bowl again? Can you get back to the Super Bowl again? You have a Hall of Fame potential quarterback. You've created this. It's no more how do you assimilate. You are the football team that's here. The Chargers are still trying to find a way to do that. And now you've done it all without first-round draft picks. It's you've built the palace that is SoFi Stadium. Everybody's excited to go there. To do that in 8 years?
No, it's unreal.
It's extraordinary.
I don't know if you're in any other market. You know, we've talked about this, just the distractions in L.A. The Dodgers have their base, and it's a very powerful base. The Lakers have their base. It's a very powerful base. You were just talking about the L.A. Kings. They have a very niche, right? It's, yeah, I'm a hockey fan. I'm a Kings fan. But what the Rams are trying to do, they're trying to put themselves in the territory of, do you guys have a football team? And I get it. I understand. You got a lot of transplants that come from everywhere.
There are a ton of Raider fans in L.A.
There's a ton of Raider fans. Go. It doesn't even have to be. If it's a Packers-Rams game at SoFi Stadium, there's going to be a lot of Packer fans
right
there. That's just kind of – that's what L.A. is. But can you be competitive? Can you have one of the best coaches in the NFL? Can you be entertaining? Can you? I mean, there's so many things that I think factor into it. I don't know of another story, and I know they're out there. I don't know of another story where you can change the market and have this much success and also have this much of an imprint in a league like the Rams do in the NFL.
I think it all has to do with how Sean McVay turned this team around in almost nearly an instant.
Wouldn't argue that.
And I think if the Rams had Jeff Fisher for this entire time, I think no one would care. Because they wouldn't be good.
You're not wrong.
So Sean McVay and getting it, and I looked this up today. So I know we were talking about how the league looked like.
Jeff Fisher's driving around right now. He's like, what the hell?
Catching a stray.
Guys, I've been out for 8 years.
But I can't stress this enough.
It's true.
They showed up with not just a bad team. They went 4-12. They showed up with a boring team. They showed up with a team that had Todd Gurley, one of the most dynamic players in the league at the time. And you're watching and going, yeah, this isn't any fun at all. McVay shows up in the next year, like, Gurley might win the MVP.
Yeah. He's so like young. That. And he's so full of youth. I know we're here at JM Eagle LA Championship. But, you know, Rams go Hollywood. Rams go Hollywood when you get Sean McVay. He brings so much life and energy. He's a new face. He's a fresh face. He comes off. And the other teams that were looking for a coach at the same time were the Bills. Didn't get him. They got Sean McDermott, which is, I mean, turns out whatever for them. Denver Broncos, Jacksonville Jaguars, Chargers could have had Sean McVay too, and the Niners. So it was just interesting that the Rams saw in that kid who had not had any head coaching job in the NFL before, and he was like,
well, what happened since then? Everybody either followed what they were trying to do, hiring a really young coach, or took
one of his guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I don't want to say it's luck because they hired him, but it was fortunate that they hired him. It was fortunate that they identified him. They were saying, and I remember Eric Davis was part of our broadcast team at that point, and I called him and Kirk both, and they gave me the same response. And I said, hey, I don't know anything about Sean McVay other than he's an assistant coach in Washington. What do I know about him? And they both basically said the same thing was, he's going to be a head coach in this league. He's going to be a really good head coach in this league. The only question is he ready to do it right now? Is it too early? And they both said, but if you wait till he's ready, you're probably not going to get him.
Right.
And they did it, and it's worked out, and now they get to take a pick tonight.
In addition to what I mentioned earlier about Diana Rossini's report, she said that the Rams, who haven't picked in the first round since 2016, are calling to get in the top 10. Jordan Rodriguez quote tweeted this and added this, in addition to her sources, from what I've gathered so far this morning, Rams are checking prices on a number of different possible moves up into the top 10 and down. To me, staying at 19 would be surprising. So they're exploring everything.
Something's happening.
The 19th pick was the only pick I was fairly certain the Rams wouldn't have. You know, they might have something a lot higher. They might have something a lot lower. But 19 seemed like a place where it was kind of no man's land for them, that they weren't going to get what they needed at that point, that when what you could get at 19, you could get at 42, you could get at 57, that you could move back enough and still find relatively the same quality talent of player at that point. They're going to move up. They're going to move back. Up's a whole hell of a lot more fun. And I really do think they're going to do it. And if Diana Rossini's saying it, now I feel even better about it because she's pretty plugged in. Jordan Rodriguez saying it,
sure,
I feel even better about it. She's really plugged in. Speaking of, LPGA goes Hollywood. We are here at Wilshire Country Club. Easy for me to say. JM Eagle LA Championship presented by Plas Pro. We are going to talk more about that tournament. We are going to be joined by none other than David Tucker, the tournament director, scheduled to join us next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN, and you got a chance to win some tickets right now. 877-710 ESPN, 877-710-3776 for your chance to win a four-pack of suite passes to LAFC against Portland. That's coming up on April 27th, two nights from right now, 7:30. Call number 7 wins, 877-710-ESPN. Right now, it's Travis Lee, 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I got something very cool coming up for you guys here in just a little bit. Somebody sent me something via Twitter, or we're not calling it X yet, right? We're still calling it Twitter, Al. Is that how we're doing?
I only refer to it as X. If it's not X, then I don't.
You don't respond.
You're Zeets, you know, instead of tweets, it's a Zeet.
Is that what people say?
No.
Okay.
They call them posts, but okay. I was being dumb.
I still say tweets. That's what somebody sent me something that got me so fired up that apparently I got somebody else fired up. I didn't even know about it. I don't want to try to explain it. I want to play it for you guys. So we'll have it
you're an influencer.
Coming up in a little bit. I'm an inspiration is what I am, Emily, at least to
like
one
influencer.
Person. I am pretty influential.
You just told me a little bit about it. Yeah. Badass story.
It's pretty cool.
Amazing story. It's really definitely pretty cool.
We're going to talk with David Tucker, the tournament director of the JM Eagle LA Championship. He's scheduled to join us here in just a couple of minutes. If you're looking for something this weekend and you love golf and you like cool places and you like beautiful spots, Wilshire Country Club is the place for you. JM Eagle LA Championship.com is the place that you can go buy your ticket. So we were talking a little bit about the draft, and I really do think that the Rams may move up. I think that they're going to go off. If they move up, I'd be stunned if they moved up to take an offensive or a defensive player. Mm-hmm. I was talking with Corporate Greg a second ago. We were texting a little bit. He's like, they're going to take Leatu Latu from UCLA if they move. His projections have been all over the board.
The highest that they have him at?
Well, now they have him like inside the top 8 or 9 potentially. They had him outside of the first round not that long ago because he's got a neck thing that some teams are supposedly concerned
worried
about.
Scared
and
about.
So his projections are kind of all over the map. Okay. So we'll see what it is. The one thing that you could absolutely take to the bank right now is that Caleb Williams is going to go number one to the Bears.
Yeah.
And he's a fantastic player. He's big enough. He's athletic enough. He's fast enough. He's accurate enough. He's good decision maker. Like everything you saw at Oklahoma and specifically SC leads you to believe
perfect package.
It seems like it. Okay. And so what does that mean? There's like a 50-50 shot he'll be good?
From a quarterback perspective?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I mean, that's kind of where it is.
Well, and I don't know if, you know, we were looking at some of that those stats yesterday of – I think wide receiver was the lowest, about one in every four wide receivers pan out.
Yes.
They're signing a second year or a second contract with the team that drafted them.
And quarterbacks were like
50.
Slightly less than 50.
You know, I'd be curious about – I know you're just kind of taking an average here, but I'm curious if that's based – it's – no, the second and third quarterback is less than – but the one that's the – hey, that's supposed to be the guy if that one pans out.
When it hits to the tune of Peyton Manning. It hits to the tune of
– your franchise has changed.
Cam Newton. It hits to the tune of one of those guys that's picked – because most quarterbacks are almost always number one. I think it's – what do we say? 7 of the last 10 times.
Yeah.
Seven of 10.
And the only other time it's been a rusher, basically.
Right. So it's going to be Williams. And there's nothing that you see – Here's what you got to be.
Do you have any hesitation?
Yeah,
in him?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Just simply because of the math of it all. Like, if you just said to me, what is he missing? Nothing. Because he's the right size. Mm-hmm. He's fast. He's super accurate. Mm-hmm. When you watched him play at SC, far more often than not, you thought that the decisions he was making with the football were good decisions. Sometimes, very rarely were you like, what is he doing?
And he
doing?
Was keeping you in games when you had no defense at all. He was basically putting up the 30.
Hold on to the ball a little long is like the only thing I've heard as a criticism of him, but it's also because he was trying to make something happen. And I think that he can get that, you know, with more time, get that out of his head. But yeah, it feels like there's nothing on the field besides you haven't seen him play in a playoff. You've seen him play in the Pac-12 championship game, but he got injured. So you haven't seen him in like those huge, huge games and win those huge
Patrick
games.
Patrick Mahomes playing any of those games?
Yes, I understand.
You know what I mean? I get your point, but not everybody does. Football, right. I think more than anything else.
Josh Allen didn't.
You've got to be on a really good team with a really good – like all the pieces have to line up exactly right. And it really didn't for him.
I mean, Mac Jones didn't. Look at him.
That's what I mean.
My bigger concern with him would be – is the franchise you're going to. That's always my concern. And I'm not telling you it's perfect every time.
They are a black hole of quarterbacks.
So this is that would be a bigger concern. Well, let's use – remember how yesterday we were making fun of the fact that the Jets are basically saying, Zach Wilson, thank you so much for everything you did, and none of us understood what the hell was going on.
Consider all the memories, Lee.
you can't tell me that there are not times that you feel like, hey, a lot of this is going to come down to an individual a quarterback can change your franchise. Mm-hmm. What does that franchise look like? Like, that's the thing that I kind of sit back on. You just said it's a black hole for quarterbacks.
They haven't developed any of them.
So I always have a difficult time then saying how much of that is on the quarterback, how much is that on the franchise. There is a lot that goes into the
franchise.
When you haven't
developed one in 40 years, it's probably not every player was bad.
But they also made some really bad decisions with the quarterbacks they took. They took Mitch Trubisky when they had Patrick Mahomes on the board.
Here's the good news for Caleb Williams. If you're on his team, and I'm not talking about you're on the Chicago Bears, but you're a member of the Team Williams, right? You're an agent. You're a marketer. You're somebody that's going to be in the business of Caleb Williams specifically.
Yeah.
The Bears don't stink. The reason they're picking number one is because Carolina stinks. Mm-hmm. They didn't earn the number one pick by being terrible. They earned the number one pick by Carolina being terrible. Mm-hmm. They had a below-average record.
Were they 7-10?
Yes.
That's not good, but that's not terrible.
That's not awful.
They have functioning NFL players there. One of the things that they were missing was a dynamic. Josh Fields had moments, but he wasn't consistent.
They have another pick in the top 10.
They got another top 10 pick. This is not where you're going to tend to a team like Bryce Young that had one or two wins, and there's no talent anywhere to be found. Mm-hmm. That's not what this is. This is a pretty rare – a 7-10 team doesn't get to pick number one very often, if ever, and that's what they get to do right now. Mm-hmm. And he does have weapons. You got DJ Moore. You've got these guys there that are good players. Now, whether the coach is good, whether the developmental process is good, the answer for 40 years has been no, not really.
Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for him, and I'm rooting. There's a little bit of the Chicago Bears. I can't remember the last time they were good. Last time they were legitimately
good. They made the playoffs in 2018, but they weren't great.
The last time they went to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman as their quarterback, and that was because they had a really good defense.
Lovie Smith
and Brian Urlacher was there, and they had Devin Hester, who returned a kick for a touchdown practically every game.
Yeah.
It'd be great to see him walk into a franchise like you just said. He doesn't. At least there's a foundation already built. 7 wins last year, 2 top 10 picks. And I'm rooting for him. I really am. I hope he's able to have success there, but I always have hesitation on depending on what the franchise is.
I do think that one thing that's interesting to me about Caleb Williams specifically is that he might be one of the first true Gen Z quarterbacks.
What does that mean? I'm really asking. What does that mean?
Yeah. So you might roll your eyes at that, but like it's the idea that he has had social media since he's been able to have his own thoughts. Like, since he was 6-7 years old, he's been able to post on social media, create his brand, have the Caleb Williams experience, not that he's a bad teammate, but he's been able to market himself as Caleb Williams as a product since he's been, like, 10 years old, probably. And so it's that version of him. It's also the version of him that he's always been able to speak for himself. He's had agency in that. So you're going to see him speak his mind. You're going to see him be funny and quirky in these post-game press conferences. We've already seen it at his time at USC. You've seen him cry. You've seen him with painted nails. You've seen him kind of push back.
Phone case.
Yeah, you've seen him push back on these things of this like macho, machismo attitude
especially
around the NFL.
Yep.
So I think it'll be interesting to see how that interacts with the guys in his team, how it interacts with the city of Chicago, how it interacts with his coaches, because I think
One other part, too, because I'm with you. I just want to make sure that this
sure.
is the culture of the NFL.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That culture of the NFL breaks you down.
Yep.
It forces you into a box.
Yes, and you need to be one of the group,
yes.
as opposed to that what they don't like are individuals. They
right.
We don't need distract.
Yeah.
Well, because I have a pink phone case and my nails are green.
Exactly.
I'm a distraction. It's a ridiculous mm-hmm. idea, but
it exists.
It really exists.
Yeah.
And it exists in a detrimental way. And if he wants to be, no, this is who I am, there's an easy way to fix all of it. Just be awesome.
Right.
But if you're not awesome, it's, oh, look at this guy with
He's
the green
distraction.
Fingernails.
He's yeah. this, yeah.
I
yeah.
think that, like, we've all, as a society, changed a bit. And I think that the next generation of players are going to change a little bit. Again, not all of them are going to paint their fingernails for every game that they play. But I do think that this next generation of players are people who represent themselves and their gender in different ways. Not saying anything about Caleb Williams himself, but I think that they play a little bit with what being a man, a professional man in the NFL looks like. I'm interested to see how that looks for Caleb and when it's going good and going bad, how that goes.
If he plays well, he can do whatever he wants.
Right.
If he plays bad, then he's a distraction. He's worried about the wrong thing.
I mean, it's like Dennis Rodman, you know, when he would wear dresses and like do that stuff in the street. And like when he's winning with the Chicago Bulls, great.
I don't know why this popped into my head right now. Kayvon Thibodeau, who was at Oregon as a college player, got drafted number 5 overall to the New York Giants, has become a really, really good pro. You know what the rub on him was coming out of the day? I don't know if he loves football. Why not? He's into like marketing and like crypto.
He's too smart.
He's like, he's thinking about what he's going to do after football. Oh, my God, get him out of here. You know what he is?
How dare you?
You know what he is? He's a really good football player. Like a really, yeah. really
awesome.
Good football player. But because
That's
he has
you're just like looking for something to complain about.
Well, but you're looking for the wrong thing. Complain about the fact that he's a little slow or he's a little
sure.
dumb. Like
yep.
not that
yeah.
he has a brain that works and he thinks about things outside of football.
Yeah, that's stupid.
And that's how a lot of bad decisions get made. Rams should move up. They should take somebody in the top 10. Alt, Odunze. Powers.
There's your
Let's
three.
Let's go, Slee.
There's your three.
One of those three, and I'm going to be clicking my heels together tomorrow morning. Factor Cap is coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. And we're talking football. Of course, you can play Prize Picks during football season, but right now, what don't you have? Prize Picks, you can do playoff hockey. You can do playoff basketball. You can do Major League Baseball. What you do is you can mix them up. You can pick a couple from one sport and a couple from another. You pick between 2 and 6 players. You decide whether or not you think that stat projection is more or less, and you get paid, Slee.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million active members. You know right now you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 like Trav was just mentioning. The NBA right now, pro basketball, hockey, college basketball. Put all your entries in today. I'm looking right now. Always make my picks here. I'll make them in the pregame show as well. Nikola Jokic, more or less. That simple. Go find his point total. D'Angelo Russell, 17.5 points. More or less. That simple. All you got to do is take advantage of our special offer on 710 ESPN. Download the app today. Use that code 710 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code 710. On Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more. Pick less. It's that easy.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I just want you guys to know before we get into Factor Cap, I'm up to speed. I'm basically an LPGA Tour caddy. Just had a nice long conversation with Allison Corpus's caddy.
Okay.
So whatever you guys need, just let me know. I'm basically on tour.
Did you tell him anything? Were you like, I don't know if I'd go with this?
He's looking at me like, why does this guy? I asked him 38 questions in 4 minutes. It was wonderful.
You're interested.
I've never had more fun than I just did right now. What's up, Em?
All right. So, hey, guys. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. Aloha.
All right. So I'm going to start with this one. So my friend told me this story last night.
Is this when you won trivia back-to-back? Is this when the story was told?
Back-to-back trivia champs. We actually changed our name this week because it was announced yesterday that Anne Hathaway is a surprise Arsenal fan.
Oh.
And so we changed our team name, and all of us are Arsenal fans on this
team. That might make me an Arsenal fan as well.
We named our team name Anne Hathaway's favorite team. So Anne Hathaway's favorite team did win. So maybe that'll be the same for the Gooners. So my friend told me the story. She's going to a very nice place in Hollywood. I won't reveal the place name.
Wilshire Country Club.
Wilshire Country Club. She didn't look bad, but she wasn't to the nines. It was 10 p.m. on a Sunday.
Okay.
So basically a pretty empty place.
Not the rush hour.
And she's she's well connected in the entertainment industry. So she has been to nice places before, and this is not unusual for her. Okay. So she goes in and she has a reservation that they just made on their phone. Hey, we just made a reservation on our phone. She's looked up and down by the hostess, says, I'm sorry, we're going to have to seat you in about 50 minutes.
5:00?
Yeah.
At 10:30 at night?
At 10:50 at night. Okay, so a friend says,
interesting. Okay.
I think I'm going to go because I don't like the attitude. And so then my friend leaves, and she decides to make a decision to call this place and have a whole story about... So she basically runs this place a new one, and because again, you don't
who
know
does she, who does she talk to?
She talks to the hostess. So she
the
says,
same person that up downed her.
Yes, okay. And so then she kind of runs this place a new one, and again, you never know who you're talking to, especially in Hollywood, because you might not look like a celebrity, but you might have some celebrity friends. Regardless, you ever been turned away from a place because of how you looked?
Because of attire.
Because you didn't dress the way that they want you to dress. You didn't look super fancy. So you've ever been turned away because of how you presented yourself. Travis Fettercap.
So not turned away necessarily, but we were Susan and I were in New York one time. We were with her brother, and her brother had a friend who was a resident of New York City. And we were going to go to this a place not dissimilar to what Emily was describing. Kind of trendy and fancy and all these things. But, you know, whatever. And I was dressed casually, not sloppily, but casually. Like, I had on a pair of jeans and probably Vans, you know. And my brother-in-law Bill's buddy, he up-downed me. And he's like, this isn't going to work. You're going to have to change. They're going to say something if you go in there. They're not going to let you in. So I got shut down before I got there, so I had to change my clothes. So by the time we got there, it was fine.
Right.
But does that qualify?
Yes. That qualifies. Before you got there, you had to wear something other than what you wanted to wear.
Yes, yes.
Al, what do you
think? So Cap for me, and that's primarily because I probably am not trying to go into a place, a nice restaurant, unless I was properly dressed, right? So I think –
but I didn't have on a tank top and a Speedo. I was dressed appropriately.
Real quick, the tank top and a Speedo, I don't think that's getting you a lot of places, let alone a nice place.
Even at 7-Eleven, they're like, dude, come on.
Margaritaville won't take you.
This guy said at 7-Eleven, they're like, no, I'm just pumping gas. but Cap on that, but more because I don't think I've put myself in that position.
All right, Jorge?
Absolutely. I remember on one of mine and Brenda's anniversaries, I forget what number it was, but I had this whole day planned. We started horseback riding in the morning. Then we had breakfast somewhere. I took her out somewhere for lunch after. And then
okay, fancy.
We went to we did a lot of different things. But for dinner, I wasn't expecting to get all fancy dressed up or whatever, because we were just planning on having drinks or whatever. So I hadn't made reservations at this place. So when we get there, say reservations were at 8:30. So we get the
weather. Were you wearing Speedo and a tank top?
No. We're just wearing I guess we were supposed to be wearing slacks and good attire. formal attire.
Yeah, no, but, like no jeans.
But we weren't. I wasn't wearing jeans, but I was wearing black pants and a polo. And then they kept skipping our – I said, hey, my name is, you know, Reservation for Briones, whatever. And then they kept putting our menus under, and more people kept coming in until, you know, Brenda goes up to the host and says, hey, listen, our reservation was supposed to be at 8:30, but we see you're letting people in and it's 8:45. Like, do you guys have a table for us? And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, it's just, you know, other people had reservations before you. So we kept getting skipped, and I don't know if it's because the way we were dressed, but you know,
that always stinks too, because it's like, again, like I said, you don't know who's connected to whom, especially in this town.
Yeah, you don't even have to, that, even though connected to who, it's just like,
just treat people with decency. Yeah. If they have a reservation, they have a reservation.
But if the currency of your business is trends who's who, you got to make sure that Emily, Alan, and Travis are not in your restaurant. You know what I mean? Like,
think for yourself.
It's like one of those. If your whole currency is the cool hot spot, it's messed up, but I get it.
Yeah, I've eaten at that place before, which she talked about, which is why we brought it up in the first place, that experience that she had. And it's a place people like to be seen.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. There was paparazzi taking pictures of a person on the way in. And I was like, I don't even know why I'm here. Anyway, it was announced that Sue Bird will become a partial owner in the Seattle Storm. So she just recently retired, and so she's going to be a part of the WNBA team. And a lot of celebrities getting into this, like, into part ownership of the WNBA. They want expansion, because I think I mentioned before that, you know, a lot of people who get drafted can't get into teams. So they want to expand. They want to have more slots for athletes to be part of the WNBA. But it got me thinking. So Sue Bird is probably the most famous Seattle Storm athlete of all time. She's storied there. So you want the best athlete for your team to be a partial owner in your team. So, you know, best athlete for the Bulls, Michael Jordan, you want him to be a part owner of the Chicago Bulls. All right, so Al, Factor Cap.
So I got to answer this a couple ways, because sometimes this is done purely for a marketing reason, which I'm okay with. What I don't want is, do you remember when the Nets were moving to Brooklyn and Jay-Z had an ownership stake?
Yeah.
Oh, it's smart. I like it. They like the marketing behind it. Jay-Z originally from Brooklyn. He owned like 0.0 whatever it was, right?
It was a fraction of a percent.
It was pure market. So he's obviously not – I don't need Jay-Z making a decision of which European player to go get for the Brooklyn net. You know what I'm saying? So I think there's fact, but from a marketing perspective, I don't want it for an actual basketball perspective from an ownership standpoint. I think Magic is a good example as well. So I lean fact, but marketing, not actual ownership.
It's funny you brought up Magic, because that was the first one that I thought of, because Magic is one of the rare guys that kind of checks all the boxes. That Magic is super famous. Magic is a good businessman. Magic theoretically understands basketball really, really well.
Man.
Magic is a
good
wonderful
front man.
Like front man. Yeah. He might be the ultimate front man as far as just – I dare you to find somebody that doesn't like Magic Johnson. I dare you to find somebody that Magic Johnson couldn't engage with almost immediately and win them over. But there is a point of, it's got to be the right guy. And if they're just in it for the business of it all, to get a piece of the action, to get, you know, their 3% of every beer that's sold or whatever it may be, I don't know if I need that. I need somebody that can bring something beyond just, hey, you are a great player and we like you, so here's your piece of the pie.
Jorge?
I think this can go both ways. Either like some of your favorite athletes either go and coach a team, but owning one. David Beckham for me. You know, what he's done with Miami, bringing the best soccer player in the world over here, the success he's having. It's just incredible to see his success. So, you know, I got to see it with Beckham, and if other athletes can follow that same model, then hey, why not? Give it a shot.
Yes, totally. I think, you know, I would like if Troy Polamalu wanted to be a partial owner in the Steelers, I'd be all about it. Just in terms of, like, you know, maybe he has an insight on what to do. But I don't know if I want – not every star player should be a part of the
Is
ownership.
There, I don't know, a quarterback that maybe you wouldn't want to be a part of your front office? I'm just throwing stuff at the wall.
Yeah, his name sounds very similar to a clock tower in London. All right, I got one more for you guys.
Yeah.
So – There's a show going on right now. It's called Under the Bridge. It's on Hulu. It stars Lily Gladstone and Riley Keough. And it's like a detective show. It's good. It's not my favorite show, but I really, really like Lily Gladstone. I loved her in Killers of the Flower Moon. I decided to watch all of her movies back. I just like the energy that she brings to screen. And I'm also like, so my friend, like I mentioned, she has connections to Lily. And I'm just like, I never want to meet her. I never want to be in the same presence of her because I don't even know what I would say. I don't know what I'd do. I just really like her work, but I don't want to meet her. Not in the way, like, I don't think it'd be a great interaction.
I'm going to change your mind on that, but go ahead.
But I just feel like I don't know how I would fangirl so hard
in
a weird way. All right, so there's a famous person that you love that you would not want to meet. And I think for the same reason as I'm talking about, like that you'd be overwhelmed, not because they're not a great person. So Jorge Fetrocap.
You know what? It happened to me with Jim Carrey. I was working at a Disney event.
It's a good one.
Yeah, man. When I was working at a Disney event when The Rock had a race to Witch Mountain, I believe. This is a long time ago when I was younger.
Oh, TBT. Yeah, like 2005, 2004?
Yeah, something like that, exactly. And I've always wanted to meet this guy because of the mask, you know.
The Ace Rock
Ventura.
Had hair in that movie.
He actually did, yeah. So The Rock was there. They were presenting this movie. It was like a whole Disney event at the Kodak Theater, I believe it was. And backstage, we ran into Jim, and some of the guys wanted to go take pictures with Jim. And he straight out ignored all of us. He was on his phone. He was, you know, pretending to be talking on the phone or whatever, whether he was on a phone call or not, but most likely he was. But he basically didn't even look at us, nothing. Like, a couple of guys wanted to get a picture, but he just basically, beat it, kids. I'm not here for you guys. And it sucked, you know, because he was one of those guys that we looked up to, whatever.
Trev?
There's a person, and this is why I would strongly encourage you to reconsider your position, Em. I never, and I had opportunities to do it, and I always said, I just don't want to do it because I don't want even the possibility that it wouldn't go the way I would hope it is. It was Vin Scully. I never got a chance to talk to him. I never got a chance to shake his hand. I never got a chance to say, hey, man, I just love listening to you every night, which I'm sure he heard 1,000 times a day, every day for his entire life, right? I never got to do it, and I deeply, deeply regret it. So all you have to do is, hey, it's a pleasure. I really like what you do. Have a nice day, and you can keep it moving because once you don't have the chance, you don't have the chance.
Al?
For me, I say cap on this. There was a point where I was like, I think magic, and then I met him, and I – was like, wow, that was a great interaction there. No, I'm good. It doesn't matter who it is. If I get a chance to meet any of these people, I want to meet them. And part of the reason why I want to meet them, Trav, if you're a big fan of that person, it's okay to tell them that, hey,
absolutely,
I really appreciate your work, respect your work, and leave it at that.
We are here at the JM Eagle LA Championship presented by Plas Pro. And coming up next, tournament director David Tucker joins us right here on Trav and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We are not live at LA Live today. We are live from Wilshire Country Club over on the west side of town. We're here for the JM Eagle LA Championship presented by Plas Pro, LPGA event that has the largest non-major tour finale event of the year. It is a big purse. We're up to nearly $4 million in it. And we are joined right now by David Tucker, who is the tournament director of the JM Eagle LA Championship. David, let me start by saying thank you for having us out today.
Oh, man, appreciate you being here. What a better, you know, there's no better place to be, obviously, at a golf course. Wilshire Country Club is such a generous host to us, so gracious for you, gracious for them, and obviously the Wang family to put this tournament on, the JM Eagle LA Championship.
Absolutely. So we were chatting a little bit during the break before you came on, and I asked you if this was your first year as tournament director. You've been here since the beginning of this. Tell me how it's changed from what it was to what we're looking at today.
Yeah, it came together quick. I think it was a 60-day turnaround, right, from commitment to deal. But, man, every year we just get better. It's just so nice to see. We had a good three-year stretch. We had a hiccup with COVID, obviously, that the whole sports world was dealing with. But we managed our way through that, weathered that storm, and came back bigger and stronger. So if you got a chance to see it last year, it's a very good representation of what we've accomplished. But this year's just better and badder, and we are so excited to invite these fans out this year.
Dave, for those who are maybe they're regular golf fans, maybe they're a little bit more casual from a golf perspective, what would you say if somebody's got a day to come out this weekend, or obviously today or tomorrow, what could they expect? What part of being here do you think is just a great tangible to bring people out here?
Yeah, great question. I mean, some of the greatest features about the LPGA, it's an approachable sport. You're not sitting 6-7 spectators deep to watch incredible golf. You are up front, close and personal. And to this week's really special because we've had a lot of talks with the community, a lot of talks with the Wang family about how do we get youth involved, how do we get golf in front of so many different kids. And so on Saturday, we have a really big youth initiative. We're going to have a t-shirt giveaway. There'll be vouchers for food. We have putt-putt. We have a junior golf show that'll be on the driving range at 2 p.m. We have a lot of activations and energy that's gone into this. So over 1,000 kids are already committed, and we expect to see that number grow year in and year out.
David Tucker's the tournament director of the JM Eagle LA Championship presented by PlasPro. And we've been talking a lot about golf today, and especially that idea of bringing people to the game that maybe aren't golfers or maybe think they don't like golf and maybe think, it's not for me or whatever. I dare somebody to come out.
I know.
You're right.
See this.
100%.
Watch how they hit that ball and say to themselves, how do they do that? I want to feel that. I want to learn how to see that, because to your point, you get so close to it. It's not abstract. It's you're watching these perfect swings and how they do it. And I just take a taste. It's like it's that thing, like, just taste it. You may really like it. And this is a great environment to do
that. That's spot on. 100%. I mean, once you're out here and you look at it, the ladies have a better swing than the men's, right? If you're an amateur, you want to come out and look at and replicate your swing, watch the women. Secondly, it's just a fantastic family-friendly and fun and safe environment. There's obviously food trucks and concessions, and we are a beautiful park that just happens to have golf taking place on top of it, right? So when you're out there, and I mean, anyone obviously listening, please come out and enjoy this experience and see it for yourself.
Can you talk a little bit about the competition over the weekend? Just how great, and we got some straight great stats here, just talking about 17 of the top 25 right now women's world golf rankings are here in this tournament. Can you talk a little bit about what to expect from just a pure golf perspective?
Yeah, I mean, we're so grateful to have Walter and Shirley Wang up the purse again. I think you had mentioned that at the top of the top of the broadcast, but $3.75 million is a lot to play for. So it attracts some of the great talent that we see on the LPGA Tour. In addition to that, man, it is a very, very hard track if you're not used to it, right? But we've done it here for a number of years, so the players feel comfortable. And you'll see incredible shots because they know what to go for and what not to go for. The caddies are the ones that will be guiding them through that putting surface per usual, but it is no joke when you're out there. You got to be there mentally and physically all day. So Hannah Green, who was an incredible athlete, is out there again to defend her title. We're rooting for her and hope she does well. But it's amazing to see 109 or almost 110 international players that are in the field versus our 40 or so Americans. That's what brings out fans too, right? Yep. LA is the most diverse city that we can bring this tournament to. So we're so grateful to have people come out from all different walks of life to see representation from all over the world. So it's just an incredible event.
David Tucker is the tournament director of the JM Eagle LA Championship presented by PlasPro. You can go to jmeaglelachampionship.com for tickets. I want to go back to something you said a second ago.
Yeah.
As the tournament director,
yeah.
How involved are you on, as far as, obviously the superintendent's going to have a lot to do this, but the setup of the course to make it both fun to watch, you want to watch birdies, you want to watch the ball hit close to the hole, but you also want to challenge the best players in the world. Kind of that balance of, let's make sure that it's playable enough so the fans can get to see really cool stuff, but at the same time, you got to challenge the very best.
Absolutely. I mean, our role, you know, is really to set up from a viewership. Oh, look at that. Another round of applause. Someone hit a good shot.
There you go.
Is that for the question? Or
yeah, maybe it was. Congratulations. Just firing away. Yeah, this is fantastic because we basically set up the course as best we can from a fan perspective. We work with the LPGA specifically mm-hmm. because it's a tour event, and they will take over from a rules perspective.
Okay.
So pin placement is really in their hands. We don't actually know what pin placements will go out. Neither do the players until the night before.
Oh, wow.
So they keep it under a tight lid from a competitive standpoint.
So if anybody's
standpoint.
Like, why is that pin tucked behind that bunker? You go, talk to those guys over there.
Yeah. Exactly right.
I don't set the rules here, guys.
You want to talk to the LPGA folks. It is the JM Eagle LA Championship presented by PlasPro here at Wilshire Country Club. That is David Tucker. He is the tournament director. Again, David, thank you so for having us.
Thank you,
out.
Dave.
It is a beautiful day, and I guarantee if you come out, you're going to have a great time.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate
you got it.
It.
You
appreciate
got it for sure. Lakers, game three tonight, the entire season on the line, the perfect must-win that isn't technically a must-win. How do you actually do that? It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.